Our scripture reading today is 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Lord, thank you that we always have reasons to rejoice. And Lord, as we look at this text today, Lord, and whatever is going on in our lives that brings us here today, whatever worries or cares that we're bringing in, Lord, help us to see the power of the gospel and how it speaks to our lives, and specifically how we rejoice and how we give thanks. We ask this in Christ's name. So if we're observing the text that we just had read, one's a very short text. Probably you've heard it before. I can be a long-winded preacher, so I chose a short text for you. But even so, there's some power packed in these little verses. Let's just take a moment and observe what it says. Rejoice whenever you feel it's appropriate. No. Rejoice always. Pray every now and then. Pray without ceasing, it says. Give thanks when things are going well. Give thanks in all circumstances. These are powerful things. It's easy to rejoice when it's appropriate to rejoice, and it's easy to give thanks when there's really obvious things to give thanks about. But that's not what this verse says. This verse says always and in all circumstances, without ceasing, all the time. Now, this is my wife and I, our new baby. We've just come back to Alabama. It's been the first time we've been home since COVID. And let me tell you, it's been a difficult past couple of years. This year in particular has been very hard on us. My wife was in the hospital for a while with COVID. Our baby was in the hospital, in the ICU, had to have a tube to help her breathe. It has been a very difficult year for us. And sometimes when I look at these verses about rejoicing always and giving thanks in all circumstances, I want to put on the brakes and say, wait, isn't it inappropriate to rejoice sometimes? Sometimes isn't life hard and sad and difficult? How can this be true? Maybe it's been hard for you too. Maybe you break up against this verse like I do and have to say, how can this be? How can we obey this command, these commands here? These are commandments. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. How can we obey? One of my favorite stories about this is the story of Corrie Ten Boom. And some of you may have read her book, The Hiding Place, but it's about during World War II, when the Nazis invaded Holland, the Ten Boom household, they were Christians, and they began to hide the Jews. It's called The Hiding Place because in their house they kind of built a wall in order to be able to hide Jewish families, and eventually they were caught. And so there's a point in the story where Corrie and her sister Betsy, both very strong believers, got thrown into a concentration camp. And in that concentration camp, they were put in a barracks, and the barracks was just way too many women in the barracks. There was, you know, basically kind of standing room. They began to notice that the few like hay beds there were fleas everywhere, and Corrie had a moment of kind of crisis. How can we make it in a place like this? And Betsy spoke up, her sister, and she said, "Don't forget, Corrie, God has already told us how to make it in a place like this. Remember the scripture that we read this morning?" And she quoted verse 18 here. "Give thanks in all circumstances." Even in the concentration camp. And that's exactly what they began to do. They began to give thanks. They began to say, you know what? They could have separated us, but they didn't. We're here together. And look at all of these ladies around us. That's more people that we can share God's word with. And speaking of God's word, we were able to hide this Bible, and we still have this Bible here with us that we can have spiritual food. And then Betsy gave, she even gave thanks for the fleas. God, I don't know why you've given us these fleas, but that was part of your will for us. Only later did they find out that the guards who would have confiscated their Bible were afraid to come into that particular barracks because of the fleas. Give thanks in all circumstances. And I figure if Corrie ten Boom could give thanks in a concentration camp, we can probably all find ways to give thanks in our own lives. Thankfulness is not easy for me. I don't know if it is for you. I've had a little journey with it. I remember when I was in high school, one day my shower was broken or something. I had to take a shower in my sister's shower. And she had like a kind of prayer for every day of the week in her shower. I guess she was praying in the shower. And one day was dedicated to Thanksgiving. And I remember at the time when I, in my ignorant teenage years, I thought, that's just a wasted day. You haven't prayed for anybody. We have all of these prayer needs in the church, all these sick people. We got to send the gospel to the nations. We got so many supplications we don't have time for. Why are you spending time praying prayers of thanksgiving when you have to do all these other prayers? Then I remember when I first started preaching every week, when I became the head pastor at my church in Paris. And I began to see, I was preaching through Colossians, but I noticed how much the Bible really does speak about thanksgiving, about giving thanks. It's all over the place. And it was, I noticed that up to that point, it was just part of the scripture that I just sort of read over. I was like, okay, yeah, give thanks, blah, 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 and get to the meat of it. But the Bible repeats things for reasons. And thankfulness is at the core of what a relationship with God should be. That's a theological necessity. And the more I studied, the more I saw that. Here's a little foundation theologically for why Thanksgiving must be at the heart of who we are. You see, Christians believe there's one God who created all things. He created all things. The big fancy Latin word is ex nihilo, out of nothing. He didn't have to go to this already formed matter and just say, okay, I'm going to take these materials and build with it. There was nothing except God. He spoke and things came into being. This means creation does not exist unless God wills it. That you do not exist on your own. You did nothing to make yourself come to be. Everything about you is given. It was part of God's mind and God's intention and God's grace and God's mercy that we even exist. And this has big impact on the way we think about Thanksgiving. The Middle Ages theologian Anselm, who's French, he emphasized this point when it came to Thanksgiving. He says, the nothing from which creation came is absolute privation. This is not a specific lack, which would be the case for something that existed but wanted some good. The lack is not potential awaiting actualization. Nothing but God exists before creation. So nothing has any potential to be. Creation's lack is absolute. Creation is thus an absolute gift. A gift that has recipient only in retrospect. What is he saying here? All of creation has no right to exist unless God wills it. You don't have any entitlement to claim. So that means if we're going to be going into our theological necessity here, the only appropriate response of any creature to its creator is gratitude. Gratitude. Everything is a gift. What do you have that has not been given to you intentionally by God? In the same way, theologically, we can look at our fall as just a movement towards ingratitude. Remember what it says in Romans? Romans chapter 1, if you're familiar with Romans, the first three chapters are really, they're hard-punching. They're dedicated to really tell you how sinful you are as a human being and the need for the human race for a Savior. And there's a sense in Romans 1 through 3, but especially in Romans 1, in which you start out with the problem and there's like a snowball that's going down and getting bigger as people are starting corrupt and becoming more and more corrupt. What's the beginning of the problem? Says in Romans 1, 18 through 20, it talks about that the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against the unrighteousness of man who suppress the truth in their unrighteousness. Because since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal nature and divine power, have been clearly seen so that men became or without excuse. Because they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their foolish hearts were darkened. See, if the fundamental aspect of a relationship with God is gratitude, it starts getting broken when we move towards ingratitude. When we start thinking we're owed something by God. When we stop looking at the numerous blessings and love that is around us all the time, we ignore it and move in our own direction. How much of our sin can be linked back to just simple ingratitude? Consider the opposite commandment. The negative way of saying it. Thou shalt not covet. You know, our Thanksgiving holiday, a holiday that's completely dedicated to stop and give thanks to the Lord for what he's given us. We can't even get through it without the marketers coming in and tell us about all the things that we don't have that we should want. Rather than being satisfied with the good God and all that he's given us, life, breath, and everything else. It's very tempting to forget to be thankful. Much of our life is about doing. We do lots of stuff. It's important we do stuff. We're doing stuff by coming here today. We do lots of things. And when we're doing things, we often find we're not able to do things very well. And so there's also difficulties. There's comes. There's trial. There's trial. Excuse me. There's trials. There's sufferings. And prayers naturally move to supplication, don't they? We do things and we need help doing them. And so we say, God, please help us. We're looking forward. We have to do stuff. And so God, help is required. Prayers of supplication are pretty natural. We have long lists of prayer requests. But discipleship is more than just what we do. Yes, thank you. It's really more of a matter of our heart, isn't it? We see in the Bible that we see this a lot in the scriptures. Is it better, for example, to feast or to fast? What do you think is better? They're both appropriate at different times, aren't they? Both are commanded at different points in Scripture. We see many feasts that are commanded when they're telling the nation of Israel to celebrate. Feast of the booths, you know, all of these things. We also see times of dedicated fasting when there's been sin or when they're wanting a special time of focus on prayer, which one's better to do? Well, one might be good at one time and one might be good in another, but one thing is sure, neither is good if they don't produce thanksgiving. Consider what it says in Zechariah chapter 7. The word of the Lord of hosts came to me. Say to all the people of the land of priests, when you fasted and mourned in the fifth month, in the seventh, for these 70 years, was it for me that you fasted? And when you eat and when you drink, do you not eat for yourselves and drink for yourselves? Later down it says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, render true judgments. Show kindness and mercy to one another. Do not oppress the widow, the fatherless, the sojourner, or the poor. Let none of you devise evil against one another in your heart. But they refuse to pay attention, turned a stubborn shoulder, stopped their ears that they may not hear. They made their hearts diamond hard. But they were fasting and they were feasting. They were following the letter. But they weren't thankful. Their hearts were far from the Lord. Consider the New Testament in 1 Timothy. People paranoid about things, weird teachings and superstitions. And he's saying people are forbidding certain foods and forbidding marriage and all of these things. And then he says this, everything created by God is good. Nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving. See how that word finds its way into these verses we know and we don't always reflect really well on it? If you receive it with thanksgiving, do you feast? Do you fast? Do either. Just be thankful. Do whatever the time calls for. But don't come to church every day going through motions if it's not causing you to be more thankful. You see, God is after our heart here. And this is very serious things he's saying about thankfulness. And if it is true that a right relationship between a creature and a creator is one of gratitude, at the foundational level, that means that thanksgiving is not a bad measuring stick to think about your own discipleship. Are you growing in gratitude? If you are, you're growing closer to the Lord. It's becoming more like it was meant to be. You receiving the gifts from the Lord and being thankful. It's not always easy to do, though, is it? It's not natural. If you're like me, you think a lot more about your problems than you do about your blessings. That's normal for me anyway. And I've had to really try to approach Thanksgiving as a discipline. It's a discipline in our prayer life, isn't it? The problem's real about what I brought up about supplication. There's always more needs to pray for than we have time to pray. Always the case. And it can be very tempting to let our prayer time be only supplication. But your heart needs thanksgiving. And as we're talking about joy today, thanksgiving is the path to joy. The most joyful people I've ever met are the most thankful people I've ever met. It's going to fuel your prayer life and your faith in a very powerful way because you're going to be right with God. You're going to be right with God when you're thankful, when you're thinking about God as creator and God as redeemer, that Christ has come as we're celebrating in Christmas in the flesh. The Word made flesh dwelt among us, Christ crucified, risen from the dead. Always something to be thankful for. When we pray, we have to set aside time to be intentional about thanksgiving. And that means we really have to think. We can't pray those sort of program prayers that we do sometimes. You know what I mean? Pray that I'm guilty of it sometimes. But, you know, you pray the same prayer every time you do Every time you pray before a meal, it's the same words that come out. Every time you have these sort of repeated things, but if you're really going to be thankful, you have to think about what is going on in your life. Sometimes people confuse prayers of praise with prayers of thanksgiving, and prayers of, they're both good. I'm not going to, this is not me saying one is wrong and one is right. But oftentimes when I see prayer meetings and we have the time for praise and then we have a time for thanksgiving, we, in the time of praise, we say, God, you are holy, you are just, you are good. We are praising God for his attributes, and that is a great thing to do. And then when we move from the time of praise to the times of thanksgiving, we do the same. We just change you are to thank you for. Thank you for being holy. Thank you for being. And again, we are thankful for God and his attributes. But when we're talking about thanksgiving prayers, and often when we see it in the scriptures, what you really need to do is reflect on the realities of your life, the specific things, the specific blessings that you know God has brought you, and express that to him. God, thank you for answering my prayer. Thank you for the day that I got to spend with my family. Thank you that I have this job where I got encouragement. Thank you for the word that my friend said to me the other day that really lifted up my spirits. It's a way of getting joy out of all the love that is happening around you. You think and you pray. You pray reflected prayers. Prayers that you've thought about. We have so many blessings that we haven't thought about. We're not getting joy from those blessings because we're not thinking about them. Tim Keller, he gave this illustration one time about the elbow. When's the last time you woke up and thanked God for your elbow? Did you wake up in the morning and go, look at that thing? Man, I can move it all around. It's fantastic how this thing works. Probably not. Probably the only time you've thought about praying for your elbow is if you broke your arm, right? It's the bad things that we notice. But man, I'm sure thankful my elbow's working, right? I mean, it's not a bad thing to think about. It could be not working. There's other people who have broken arms. You see, there's always way more blessings than we care to think about. But we have to think about them. Thanksgiving is a way of seizing the joy of your blessing. My church, and I come representing them today, we have our vision statement. And if you look at our vision statement, it's not all that different than most churches' vision statements. It's a thankful church in Paris, worshiping Jesus, trusting the Bible, believing the gospel, loving the city. But the one thing maybe is that I get asked about sometimes in our membership interviews is that phrase, a thankful church. Why is the word thankful in it? And it is a result of all this reflection I've been doing about Thanksgiving, and especially as I've started preaching and seeing it so much in the scripture. But I do believe it. I believe thankfulness and gratitude is the heart of a right relationship with God. It allows us to give him the glory that he deserves. And if we're thankful as a community, if everybody in the church is walking around being thankful, think about what that church might be like. Think about how they're probably not fighting over small things. Think about how the encouragement that they give each other all the time. Think about the unity and partnership in the gospel that would exist if everybody was walking around thankful for the way God was blessing them through their church. This is something that I want my church to be. We have conflicts and things just like anyone else. But I am, by God's grace, very thankful that I see people growing in thankfulness. And it is a goal that we have. We want people to grow in thankfulness, a heart goal. And as I'm representing my church, I must say we have many reasons to be thankful. It is very easy for us to see the blessings around us. And one of the blessings that I must express at this moment is my thanksgiving to this church, Alberta. Now, and in addition to that, to the Pew family who's been serving with us for the past 3.5 years. We have a vision to reach Paris, something that we're quite unable to do on our own. It's a big city, about 15 million people, 3 to 4 million English speakers in the Paris area, and maybe 10 gospel preaching churches to reach that population. So 3 to 4 million people. The state of Alabama has 4.9 million. So imagine 12 churches to reach Alabama. That's our situation in Paris. And this church supported the pews to come. And when you guys did that, it gave us the leverage to launch our church plant. We'd been a church that had been sort of 80% full in our building, having two services, can't get another building, too expensive, not anywhere else we can go, not growing because we're kind of full. So we developed a strategy to plant churches, to litter the city of lights with communities of light, as KJ likes to say. And as we were praying through this, as opportunities and God started opening doors, the pews came supported by you, and we launched a church. And today, there's a church there with their second pastor just hired, with elders established, with good membership, fully supporting themselves financially, well, apart from the salary of the pastor, but growing. There's a lot to be thankful for. One of the most special parts I've ever had in my ministry was the day we launched that church. KJ was preaching. I couldn't get in the door because there were so many people. I stood outside and watched it, overwhelmed with joy, overwhelmed with thanksgiving. There's way more things for me to give thanks for than I could ever count. Count your blessings. You can't count them. We can't think of all of them. And this is why this is such a bold verse. Rejoice always. Give thanks in all circumstances. How can it be so bold? Because you really can rejoice always. You really can give thanks in all circumstances. That doesn't mean that there aren't times of sadness and mourning. It just means God is bigger than all those things. God is worthy of our praise. God accomplishes his mission. But it is a discipline. We're not going to be thankful just naturally. We have to stop and reflect and think. I had a moment like this the other night. We had just flown in from Paris. It was late and jet lag, you know, trying to get body clock and is off. And especially for the baby, she was not ready to sleep all night. And my wife is working remotely from, you know, she has a job in France, and so she's a really cool job. But she's working remotely and had to get up, had to rest herself because, I mean, she had flown across the pond as well. So at 3 a.m, I got up with the baby and took her upstairs, and she's wide awake and playing, and I'm barely hanging on. And I was starting to complain and starting to, oh, I wish you'd just go to bed. And then I stopped for a minute and remembered the discipline of thanksgiving. This baby who not too long ago was in the ICU with tubes hooked up to her. My wife who had struggled with COVID. We thought she was going to have an emergency C-section and end the pregnancy early because of COVID. We had a lot of difficult problems in just getting here. Been so long since I've come home. All the COVID troubles, all of the locked in. And I stopped for a minute and thought, I have a healthy wife and a healthy baby. I'm looking at my sister's Christmas tree in a nice warm home, watching my baby play on the floor. What do I have to complain about? Give thanks in all circumstances this Christmas season. There's plenty of joy to be had.